Hi there. It's lesson three, and we're going to talk all about the Green Witch. Well, first of all, I think that you probably know what a Green Witch is, but I really just want to cover that and have a quick chat about what the Green Witch is and what that means to me and how I resonate with that. So the thing about a Green Witch, what you might go to mind right away is like plants and herbs and I absolutely is. It's a naturalist, it's a herbalist, it's a wise woman, it's a healer, she's a sage. The biggest part about a Green Witch is that she embraces the power of nature. So she draws the energy from the earth and the universe, and she relies on the natural objects like stones and gems to communicate with the land that she lives off of. She uses plants and flowers and oils and herbs for healing. She calls on nature for guidance, and she respects every living being, no matter how big or how small. She does not step on the spider. She's putting it outside. And that definitely, I think, defines what I would consider to be a Green Witch. It's really someone who works with the elements, focus very much on the local land spirits and anything that is green, really, that comes from Mother Earth. These witches are really connected to healing ancestors and shamans, and they go back into Viking time. They're basically, I would say, like the original witch. And they were obviously not called witches at the time. They would call them the wise sage or the wise woman. So we'd go to this woman in the village and she would have the answer. She would know the herb that would make you stop throwing up. She would know the herb that would make you throw up if you needed to. She was the midwife. She was the person that was delivering your child. She was the one who really understood the law of nature and the law of the universe. She's very connected to the moon. She's very connected to the ocean and the elements. She thrives on nature. So I think that a lot of you are going to be nodding your heads and going, oh my God, I'm totally a Green Witch, which I think that most witches are, especially nowadays. I think we see a lot of witches that are, you know, using Mother Earth and using nature for magic and using simple things like feathers and crystals and sand to really resonate with them. Can you be a Green Witch and kill plants? Well, probably not. So if you don't have a green thumb, you may not be a Green Witch. However, I'm going to say this, you can be a Green Witch and do better with some plants than others. I mean, I think I consider my mom to be a Green Witch and she was so amazing with ferns. And for some reason, I just can't get it. I don't know what it is. It's just not, they're just not happy with me. So you'll know a Green Witch because she always has a lot of seeds and she does a lot of planting and she loves to have her hands in the dirt. And I think that what we find from Green Witches is that they really devote a lot of their time to nature and a lot of their time to herbs and to using herbs in their spells, which is definitely something that I resonate with and definitely something that I'm doing at this time in my life. I typically have the premise of herbs and natural items in my magic. I make a lot of my own magic oils, and I think I've shared some in my witches group with them, but basically I really like a grapeseed oil. I really like olive oil, like anything to me that just feels light is the biggest thing, can be put on your skin. I like coconut oil. I love coconut oil and using coconut oil for my spells. And I'll mix, you know, my herbs and stuff in them. I'll have little jars with lids that I will, you know, dab it onto the, you know, my little granddaughter, you know, one dab of it on the back of her ear just to let her know that she's protected when she goes to school. A lot of people think, you know, that I have a big plan when it comes to my herbs, but I don't have a plan as much as I have an organized system. So before I go to do a spell, I never know exactly what that's going to look like or what I'm going to put in it. But I have several shelves that have herbs, and they're all in these beautiful little jars. And one of the smartest things I did as a witch was label them. And not just label them for what was in there, but for what the magic was. Was it good for abundance? Is it good for creativity? Is it good for love? Is it good for protection? So that, and I don't keep them alphabetically organized, and I don't keep them organized by like, all of these herbs are for protection. All of the, I don't. It's a mismatch and it's all put in there together, and there's a reason for that. And the reason is because when I go there, I just intuitively go with whatever I'm drawn to. And like, if you come into my room, it's not all necessarily in that one space. I have, you know, star anise beside me on the shelf and some bee pollen and some bear root and some, you know, brick dust. And, you know, over there on the corner of the shelf, I have some porcupine quills. Like, it's just kind of me letting go and using my intuition and doing naturally whatever is coming to me. And spirit will give me the guidance. It'll pop into your head. It'll be sort of highlighted when you look at it. And oftentimes I picked up something and then I put it back and went, oh, that's not right for me. Something else I wanted to talk about in this lesson was mojo bags. And mojo bags are amazing. It's just basically a square piece of fabric. You put whatever herbs, crystals, whatever. It could be a stick. It could be a picture. It could be whatever is meaningful to you. You put it in that mojo bag. I always try mine with a burlap string, and you can put that mojo bag anywhere. You can hang it in your window. You can put it in your car. You can put it underneath your bed. It's just another form of magic. I'm really big into spell jars and magic. I don't do those as much in the winter time because I do like to, if I want to keep the jar, I will put the, you know, when the spell's finished, I'll empty it out and I'll burn, I'll put it in the fire pit. And then sometimes I bury the jars because I want to have that magic present on the property. I want that protection to be there. It's just really important to me to be able to bury it. So I don't often do spell jar magic, but in the wintertime. In the summertime, I do lots and lots of it. And spell jar magic, again, it's the same thing. You can use water from the ocean. You can use water from a creek. You can add your herbs in. Witches' bottles are basically the same as spell jars, and they've been around for centuries. So I think the reason why I wanted to talk a lot about the Green Witch is because Green Witches often find themselves, you know, in a place, in a position where if things go wrong in the world, especially with nature, so the Green Witches have a really hard time with climate change. It just affects them on a soul cellular level. Because when Mother Nature is like choking, the Green Witch feels that. And so I think that as Green Witches, it's really important for you to do magic for yourself and your family and your friends. But it's also really, really important for us all to take care of Mother Earth and to give to her as much as she's been giving to us. And let's face it, she's been giving to us a lot lately. If you're interested and you haven't, you don't have a lot of plants and you don't use a lot of herbs and you're more drawn to, you know, crystals or different types of magic, then what I would say is there's nothing wrong with investigating nature and pulling nature into your spells and into your magic and seeing what that looks like for you. So go on a walkabout, go and ask Mother Earth to show you some things that you can incorporate into your magic and see how it goes. I hope you enjoyed this lesson, and next lesson we're going to be talking all about covens, so I look forward to chatting with you soon.